Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. You know, the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche once said, and I quote, "Christianity is the ultimate form of life denial." Now, by this he meant that Christianity stands against any healthy enjoyment of life. But if you know anything about Nietzsche and his childhood, you would know that he grew up in a home, in a church, and in a community where the Christian religion was primarily presented in negative terms. It was a very dour kind of faith. And of course, it's not true that the teachings of Jesus Christ are life-denying or negative. But you know, through the centuries, some of us who wear his name have at times created that impression. Now, somewhere I came across a quotation from a medieval scholar. I couldn't believe it when I read this. And I quote, "A young girl should seldom play. She should weep much and meditate on her sins." Well, that's not only psychological nonsense. It is not the Christian faith. Jesus never said or even implied such a thing in his entire ministry. And this kind of negative attitude towards life, it was totally foreign to him. He was one of the most positive people who ever walked the face of the earth. But having said that, this is not to suggest that he was a naive optimist, because he was not. He saw the tragic side of life with a painful clarity. From personal experience, he knew the dark side of human nature. But you know, he took a positive attitude towards both. Jesus did not eliminate the negative, as they say. He didn't even try. He just recognized that this is an inevitable part of life, and he lived with it. But he did, as they say, accentuate the positive. Today's gospel reading gives us a clear example of this. Jesus told a story about a wealthy man who was planning to take an extended journey. And before leaving, he divided his wealth among his slaves, or his servants. Now, a talent is 1,000 pieces of silver. So he gave 5,000 pieces of silver to one, and to another he gave 2,000, and to a third he gave 1,000. And then, of course, the man took his journey. He stayed the appointed time, and then he returned home. And then he called together his servants for an accounting of what they had done with the money that he had entrusted to them. Now, as you well know, the first man reported that he had used the 5,000 to earn 5,000 more. In other words, he had doubled his holdings. And for that, he received the highest commendation from his master. Now, the second man also had doubled his holdings. Starting with 2,000, he ended up with 4,000. And even though he made less, he received the same commendation as the first. But then the third man reported that he had earned nothing. Through fear of failure, he had buried his 1,000 pieces into the ground and left them. Left them there for safekeeping. And for that, he received a stern rebuke from his master. And the 1,000 pieces of silver were taken away from him and given to the man who had 10,000. Now, what's the point of this story? The point of this story is that life is not made for hoarding. It is made for living. Everything that God has given you and me is intended to be used as sort of an investment capital. You know, right now, everyone, single one of us here, has the capacity to love people. But if we refuse to love, if we refuse to take that risk and keep it all for ourselves, one day we might realize that we've lost it all. My God, I'm in my 80s and my heart is empty. The only way we can safeguard our love is to run the risk of investing it in other people's lives. Now, each of us here has some money, some material possessions. Some have very little, and some have a lot more. And all of us would probably like to have more than we do. But for right now, the important issue is this. What are we doing with what we have? Be it a little bit, or be it much? If we try to keep it all to ourselves, the inevitable result will be that one day we will lose every penny of it. When the last moment of life comes, the only money that we can truly call our own, that what Jesus called treasure in heaven, is the money that we have invested in the lives of other people. That will live on. Life is not made for hoarding. Everything we hold back, we will eventually lose. But you know, in contrast to this negative approach, observe the positive attitude of Jesus reflected in this story. He looked at life and he did see an uneven distribution, an inequality of endowment. Some people have a lot more ability than others. Some people have a lot more opportunity than others. Some people have a lot more money than others. Now, Jesus saw all of that, and he was not embittered by it. He simply cast his lot with those who had very little, and he began to remind them, "You have more treasure than you could ever possibly dream." Small and insignificant that we may seem, we all have something that we can invest in the great business of life. That was the attitude of Jesus. And then along with that, he established a new standard of success. You see, the test with him was not simply what a person accomplished, but what they accomplished in comparison to what they had. One man earned 5,000 pieces of silver. The other man earned less than that. But Jesus commended them both because they started with that amount. You know, he set a new standard of giving. The poor widow in the temple, we all know that story. She gave 2 pennies. And Jesus pointed to her as the grand champion of all givers. 2 cents. But she gave what she could. You and I have actually been influenced by this standard of giving, probably more than we realize. You know, every 4 years, I think that probably most of us enjoy watching the Olympics on television. I do. Do you?
Yes.
I mean, it's a thrilling sight to see the world's best athletes do these amazing things that ordinary human beings cannot do. But I'll tell you something that might even be more amazing. The Special Olympics. Have you ever seen the Special Olympics?
Yeah.
For the physically and the mentally handicapped, you watch a 12-year-old boy or girl with Down syndrome spring down the track just as fast as they can. Then you find yourself pulling for them, just like it was a real Olympic match. And you know, it doesn't matter, even if they come in last. They are still winners because they did the best that they could with what they had. Now, in spite of what Nietzsche said about Christianity, that is a very positive approach to love. And that is the way our Lord evaluates you and me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.